Hey, everybody, it's Brandon Collins, host of Brandon Knows Nothing, the show in which you are listening to right now in your ears. It's a new week, second episode of the second season of Brandon Knows Nothing. Hope you guys enjoyed the first episode with Mike Lemmy. Definitely make sure you go see his show, it's still happening. I'm definitely going to check it out probably this Sunday. Yeah, Sunday right before the holidays. Should be good. If you like this podcast, but you don't know that I do other podcasts, definitely check those out as well. I do a Medium Popcorn podcast, which is a movie-focused podcast with my friend Justin Brown. And then I also do the Comedy Outliers podcast with Mike Brown. I apparently like working with brown people. There's nothing wrong with that in Trump's America. There's nothing wrong with that. But definitely check out those podcasts on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, Google Play. If you guys would do me a favor with this podcast of Brandon Knows Nothing, just leave a 5-star review, leave a comment and stuff. Or you can also tweet at me at American Collins with any feedback, suggestions for guests and stuff. Even though I kind of have the rest of the season booked already, it's a wide range of people, and I think you guys are really going to dig the guests we have for this season. Like I said, it's going to be 9 episodes this season, so I'll do 9 episodes for this round, and then I'll take a little break to focus on some other projects, and then I'll be back. Not sure what the timeline is, but we're chucking along right now. Next week's episode's going to be up a little bit early because of the Thanksgiving holiday and stuff like that, and I want you guys to be able to listen to me while you're on the road doing stuff. So be on the lookout for that episode. But this week we have Jim Search. We talk about education and a few other things, and dealing with children as black men, and how that kind of puts a little bit of pressure on us because we have to be an example in many ways, and sometimes it's not fair. And we have a good discussion about that. But before we get to that conversation, I just want to talk to you guys about I watched this movie called Hell or High Water last night. Phenomenal movie. Guys, we need to start supporting these small original films. I mean, I saw Moonlight, which I'll be discussing in length on my Medium Popcorn podcast. Saw Hell or High Water. These little films that have original stories, man, folks got to go see these movies because they are phenomenal. Hell or High Water was awesome. It's with Ben Foster and Chris Pine and Jeff Bridges, who can only do like he when he does the southern draw, it's so good that you kind of like forget that he can only play like that character to get some awards recognition, but it's fine. Loved him in the movie, loved all the actors. Ben Foster's a beast, but it's about these two brothers that are robbing banks. And I don't know if it's because like I just connected with it really closely right now, but it's a really intense, fun movie to watch. You get the motivations of all the characters. But I guess the reason why I enjoyed them robbing banks so much is because I've been having the worst few days with Bank of America. Now, been with Bank of America since I was in college, so it's a little, god damn, it's almost 10 years now. That's when I got out of college. This is depressing. But I've been a long-time customer with them, and this past Saturday, I had to make a withdrawal, and then I went to close one of my bank accounts because I had 3 bank accounts, and then I didn't really want to have the other one open because they kept charging me these additional fees now since I'm out of college, and I had opened up a savings account with a TD Bank, so I was like, all right, I could just close this account, put all the money from this one into the TD Bank accounts, then I have a separate place where I can keep my money in case Bank of America fucks up, which they're prone to do. I could just move all my money over there or open up a Chase bank account, whatever I want to do. So I went to go close this account that's not even connected to my debit card. So, you know, when you withdraw from your debit account, there's one account that is withdrawn from, and this was not one of those accounts. So it shouldn't have been a problem, right? However, what ended up happening was the bank freaking closed my entire card. Didn't tell me, so I'm leaving. I'm thinking everything's good. And then Brandon tries to buy a MetroCard. Car rejected. Brandon tries to pay for his tab at the bar. Car rejected. Thankfully, I have people in my life that have cash. so they were able to cover for me. But that's extremely embarrassing on a Saturday night in New York City when you can't pay for your own shit. It's very embarrassing. So because Bank of America sucks, their customer service was terrible that night. Was on the phone for an hour just waiting, and then decided to give up because my friends wanted to have a good time, and they said they would spot me. So I just swallowed my pride and had to enjoy the rest of the night. Called Sunday morning, on hold for an hour and a half, going back and forth between different departments because no one could understand why my card had been deactivated. And even when I looked online, it said that my card was active. So no one could explain this to me. It was extremely frustrating. And then I finally got a hold of one representative who said, hey, you know what? We're going to have to send you another card. And I'm like, so I have to wait additional days to be able to get access to my money. Like, you just ruined my whole weekend. On top of that, I have to now wait for a card. And they apologized profusely, said I would not accrue any fees for this card and expediting the card. They wanted to make sure I got it by Tuesday, which was 2 days later. And they were like, we're going to waive the fees. And I was like, why would you even bring that up to me? You shouldn't even have to mention fees because it's not my fault. You could tell in your records it's not my fault. You can't even tell me why you're taking off my card. So, yeah, you're not going to charge me any fees. Guess what, folks? Got my card on Tuesday. Tuesday afternoon, they charged me $20 in fees. So, Brandon kind of went off when he called Bank of America again. And to make matters worse is that they have this stupid thing where I had like a potential fraudulent thing happen in my accounts earlier this year. Verizon called and told me that they had been compromised potentially, so that I should change my cards. So I had to call Bank of America. And then I guess at that time I had set up a verbal password, which I completely didn't remember. And the thing that was crazy is over the weekend when I was calling Bank of America, they asked me for this verbal password, and I guessed what it was because I thought it was just my standard password that I use for everything. They didn't say it wasn't. All they did as a follow-up question was ask for my driver's license number, which I gave to them. This particular representative I was talking to was like, yeah, I can't help you on the phone if you don't know your verbal password. I was like, you can't give me a security question or anything to back up? Like, not everyone's going to remember a password they set up months ago, especially if they didn't think they were ever going to have to use it, because your customer service should be okay. Your services should be fine where I don't have to call customer service. But yet, here we are. And this woman was adamant on me having to go into a bank, which is about a good 25, 30-minute walk from my apartment, completely out of the way. And so I hung up the phone, and then I went to my local bank, which is the bank that also caused this whole mess in the first place, and pretty much proceeded to just yell about how this bank is the shadiest thing in the world. And they gave me back not only refunded me that fee, but refunded me two monthly fees as well. But I'll probably still leave Bank of America by the end of the month. I just have to get my direct deposits squared away at a different bank. So once I get that going, I will be leaving Bank of America. Bank of America is the devil. And I should have known because their logo isn't red. But that's my rant. I just hate institutions that take advantage of people. It's just fucking annoying. So before we get to Jim real quick, I got a few dates for you guys. Comedy Outliers, the holiday edition. We're going to have live music for a pre-show. It's going to be a lot of fun. Saturday, December 10th, tickets are on sale at ComedyOutliers.com. Or you can go to American Collins and click on the Comedy Outliers link and all that stuff. It's going to be great. And then I'm at the Living Room show in Brooklyn on Friday, December 16th. That's an 8 p.m. show. And then I'm doing a live taping at Manhattan Neighborhood Network Filming on Friday, December 29th, 2016. That's in Midtown Manhattan. So look out, just check out my dates on AmericanCollins.com. And then I'm also going to be in Boston in January, but quite a few shows there, which is going to be awesome. So, yeah, hope to see you guys in some shows. And don't forget to rate 5 stars, review this podcast and stuff. I appreciate all the love, feedback. Hashtag Brandon Knows Nothing on Twitter. Let's get to this conversation with Jim Sturge. He's a really funny guy. We've been hanging out a lot lately and talking about politics, education, music, Bar Rescue. I was recently on his show, a podcast called Shut It Down, where all they do is talk about Bar Rescue. And I was like, I gotta be on this show. And they had me as a guest recently. So definitely check out that episode as well. Once again, it's called Shut It Down Bar Rescue Recap Show with Jim Search and his co-host Max and Katrine. So without further ado, here's my conversation with Jim Search about education, teaching these kids. See y'all next week. Peace.
We don't believe you, cause we the people are still here in the rear, yo, we don't need you. Good young nigga move.
Yo, what's up? We're light-skinned dudes drinking beer, talking about life.
Yeah, man. Can I take the mic out?
Yeah. You can hold it if you want.
I found it. Yeah, this is.
You got the Apollo thing going on right now. Apollo Theater holding the microphone.
Yeah. Well, you know, when I do my podcast and shit like that, like I mean, I'm doing like juggling the boards and doing all that. So yeah. I always just take the mic out and I don't know. It's just kind of how.
Do you do your podcast with other people too?
Yeah.
So you're the guy like on the board, like adjusting shit, right?
Yeah.
That's frustrating, right? It takes it kind of out of the moment. It's like,
yeah, it's, you know, it's hard because it's like you got 1 foot in, 1 foot out of the conversation. Yeah. I feel like sometimes, but like for the most part, if I can get the levels right, I can make sure, you know, once I can substantially get that done, then I feel like I can get deeper into the conversation.
Got it. So, okay.
There you go.
Yeah, sometimes it distracts me because I just like want to make sure levels are right and everything like that because there's been times when I'm like, oh, shit, nothing's recording.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, it was a tragedy. Hitler really fucked up. What were you saying? Oh, yeah. No. It's cool. Well, yeah, thanks for – this is weird because, like, I'm usually you in this situation. I'm not the guest.
Yeah, man.
So I feel
– it's good to have a flip, right?
Yeah. I just strolled it, you know, pulled up. Just ready to talk shit.
That's what's man. Up, man. And you came from work?
Yes.
With the kids?
I just came from work with the kids. Okay. You know, today was a day.
What age group do you work with?
This year I work with first grade.
Okay. So, and these are children with disabilities, right?
No.
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 Oh, okay. I thought you were the You're like, no, man. These are students. I'm going to say traditional students.
I work with regular kids. No.
Oh, God.
Isn't that awful?
I'm just joking.
Now, there's some teachers who say that, man.
Yeah.
It's regular kids.
So, okay. What exactly is your role right now this year? What's going on?
This year, I am what's called, the school I'm at is called an associate teacher, which essentially is like an assistant.
Yes.
I'm assistant teaching.
Got it.
So, this year is my, I'm finishing up my master's right now.
Nice.
So I have to.
Brothers with our masters.
Yeah.
Taking it back.
That's right.
That's why Trump's going to win.
He might. No, he's not.
By the time this comes out, hopefully we'll be in the Clinton pre-presidency and shit.
And she'd be what, Madam President? Is it what would the?
I believe so. All the shows they always say Madam President.
Madam President. Yeah. Oh, wow, that's fucking.
What do they call Bill Clinton though?
The first dude.
I guess
first man. Gentleman. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or just two-time champ.
Be like, hey, champ. They just call him champ.
Yes.
I would just call him a champ. You know, it's good to be here, buddy.
I don't know if he sounds quite.
That was like Bill Clinton and Goofy.
Yeah.
Together.
He's done some goofy shit.
So you're a teacher's assistant, and you're getting your master's in what?
Childhood ed.
Oh, shit. Okay.
First through sixth grade.
And you like that age group?
I like working with the older kids. So okay. Like, I'd say probably like third to fifth grade, like,
got it.
Within that pocket, because like at that age, you know, they understand sarcasm a little better.
Mm-hmm.
I think the jokes you could like when joking around with them, you can be a little more, I think, complex than you can with a first grader. Because like I've definitely made that mistake of attempting sarcasm with a first grader. And if you ever want to see a kid's world collapse, just tell them that we're never having spaghetti again and watch a kid just fall out. And like,
I feel the same way, man. Like when I ran an after school camp and we had K through sixth grade.
Okay.
And there's this kid that's just always fucking drove me crazy. His name is Michael Daniel. He had two first names. It was ridiculous.
Never but, trust anybody with two first names.
We had to take him to a pool. We had to take all the kids to a pool, not just this kid. That would be creepy. But then he wouldn't get, like, he was taking forever, and the buses were, like, waiting for everybody. I'm like, Michael Daniel, you got to come. You got to get your stuff together. Otherwise, you're never going to be able to come back to the pool. And I was, like, kind of being real, but this kid, I didn't realize how emotionally fragile children can be. Yep. And he had a mental breakdown and started crying. And, like, I'm being Mr. Brandon, like, just like, God, I'm making this little white Jewish kid cry in the corner. I'm like, nobody can walk into here, otherwise I'm going to get in trouble.
Yeah. It was, white kid tears are just valuable as shit, man. Yeah. Like, they put a high stock on that. I remember I used to work at a summer camp,
yeah.
And there was a kid who had disabilities, and he wasn't, like, it wasn't a camp for disabled kids per se, but he was at the camp and had disability. Anyway, he was kind of a dick. Like, he wasn't a nice kid. Like, he was just a mean kid. And I'll never forget, we were supposed to go on a field trip that day, because like every Wednesday or whatever, all the summer camps go somewhere. And the kid was just like, yeah, I'm not going to go. And like everyone was
But everybody has to go, right? Like no one can stay.
No one can stay, right? And the director of the camp like came down and was just like, look, you know, you've got to go on the trip. And he was like, no, I don't. I don't actually. Yeah, yeah. I don't got to do shit. And I watched him single-handedly bring this trip to a halt because, like, the director dug her heels in. He dug his heels in. And it was just a standoff because, like, I mean, you can't. The kid has to go, right? Like, you can't buckle to this. He's got to go on the fucking trip. And, you know, obviously, like, well, who won? He did.
Are you serious?
He didn't go.
But then what happened to him? Did he just go home? Like, what was the point of...
Well, what ended up happening is he ended up just staying in the office all day. And, like, I just kind of looked at the director and the camp and was just like, yo, man, you set a very dangerous precedent this day. The day that you buckled to this kid and he realized the power he had. Like, if he doesn't want to do something, he really doesn't have to.
I feel like that's the thing with kids these days that see their parents kind of just go off on administrators and teachers.
Yeah.
Because then the kid's like, oh, shit, Mr. So-and-so is just a pushover.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime he pisses me off, I can just tell mom or dad and just... Don't have to worry about nothing.
It's funny. I was talking to parents at school, and we have like these like philosophical talks about like just kids, and you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't have any kids. Like
that you know of.
That was over the fence for those of you who are listening at home. Him and I were talking, and he was like, "I was like, so what do you do like?" When you like are picking it, like you got to pick and choose your battles, right? Yeah. With your kid. And he's like, yeah, like I have to weigh out, is it worth it to fight with my kid in the middle of Duane Reade over chocolate? Is this battle worth it? You know? And so, you know, he's, you know, married, and he's like, you know, sometimes my wife is really adamant about one thing and I don't really give a shit, but I have to like be like, all right, well, mom said you got to do this. Just know I don't personally give a shit, but like, you know, that fight's not worth it either. So like, I got to weigh out which fight is worth having.
Absolutely.
You know? So like what he was basically saying is like, there's, you know, as a parent, like you also have to live with this person. So like, if you just constantly are pissing this person off, it's going to create an awful, awful dynamic. Like, I get to go home. Like, at 3, like I can piss this kid off all day if I really wanted to, and I just get to leave. So, like, I mean, it's a very cold way of looking at it, but, like, I'm just saying that there is I can walk away from this. As a parent, you can't.
Yeah, you got to stick with that piece of shit kid.
You got that.
In a way, like, kids aren't naturally assholes, right? Like, that's the thing, like, about... teaching is you realize like there's some really nice kids, some genuinely really sweet kids that are just like kind of like awkward maybe, don't really know how to like, you know, talk to other kids. And there's just that some mean fucking kids that either lash out at other kids or just think they're better than everybody. And that I think that comes from the environment you're in, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's weird because, you know, as a teacher, I've taught, I've been in the classroom for, I think this is going on my fourth year, but okay. I've been in education for 8. So okay. Like, I used to be a recess supervisor. I was like the guy with the whistle outside for.
Oh, we got to talk about that.
Oh man, dude.
You were the dude with the whistle?
I was the dude with the whistle. Oh, I still have the whistle on my keychain actually from those days. I still
keep God. It.
But yeah, what were we talking? I've been in the classroom for 4 years, right?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I've seen real garbage ass kids, like some just bad. And there, I mean, contrary to what, like, I think that there are kids who are in an environment where a lot of it comes from parents. I think there's a lot that has to do with the modeling of what a parent puts down. Mm-hmm. If you have asshole parent, you're probably going to be churning out asshole kid, yeah. Right? But on the other hand, and this is where it gets kind of delvey, or this is where it takes the turn, as you'd imagine, is if you're a parent who bends at every possible turn with your kid, you have a potential, that's a fertile ground for an asshole.
Yes.
Because that kid realizes, oh shit, I can get whatever I want if I just push hard enough, and if I, you know, manipulate or do whatever it is I got to do to make this happen, I can get it. So if you don't have boundaries one way, you're going to create an asshole. And if you are an asshole, you're going to create that asshole.
One of the most fascinating articles I ever read as a educator was, I think it was like in college, Time Magazine did a whole profile on parenting. And okay. They talked about all the different types of parents. They talked about helicopter parents, absentee parents, and how that affects educators.
Oh, wow.
And teachers pretty much went in on every type of parent. But then there was also the flip side where parents were like, well, I feel like my teachers don't do this, or they're not qualified enough, or they don't give my student enough, my child enough attention. Mm-hmm. All these different things. And I realized, and this is like 2007, a year before I'm graduating my undergrad in education, I was like, oh shit, there's a war brewing between parents and teachers. And I think we've definitely come to a head with that in some, especially in some areas like Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. Even in New York, it's starting to happen a little bit. With the whole breakdown between charter schools, public schools,
and private schools
and everything.
You know, I mean, I work in a private school. I've been in the private school for as long as I've been in education.
Is it a private, just private school, or is it a private, like, religious affiliated school?
No, it's just private. There's no religious affiliation.
Good.
But I think, you know, there is another added layer and dynamic to a private school, because it really is school by school.
Yep.
Like, it's really hard. I mean, there's certainly are some through lines that exist in the private school world.
Yeah.
But I do think that there's some schools that, you know, the parents have a lot of leverage in what happens, because it, you know, the administration will bend to their whims, if you will. Yeah. And then on the other side of the coin, you know, you have, administration that holds a level of integrity and goes, you know what, you know, we respect and value the tenets of education, and we're not going to just give you what you want because you pay to send your kid there.
Right? Yeah.
So, you know, I think that's another dynamic of that, you know, the war between parents and teachers. But
what do you, what's your whole take on, like, education right now? Because you said you're about to, when are you graduating your master's?
When?
Yeah. How many more?
May.
You graduated in May. Okay.
This is my last school year.
Got it. So once you do that, you're looking to become a full-time teacher on your own, right?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing is, I'm in grad school right now, and it's a shitty school. Like, it's like, I've really been, disheartened by a lot of the shit that's happened in the school. But one of the things, like, looking at the state of education, in answer to the question, is it could be a lot better. Like, you know, that's not fair.
Are you bilingual?
No, I'm not. Dios mio.
yeah.
But
I mean, that's what fucked me both times I graduated.
It was not being bilingual.
Yeah, well,
I don't think it'd fuck you if you were. But
until 2008, we had a hiring freeze. New York had a hiring freeze, so mm-hmm. no one could get work. But then when I graduated my counseling degree, they were only looking for bilingual extension folks, which no one knew. So yeah. Unless you were like willing to go out to Long Island or go to another state, you were kind of like SOL once you went back to school.
I think, well, I'm going to be graduating non-certified.
Okay.
Reason being,
we just got to take the exam, so that's like pretty.
Well, I have. Well, here's the thing. Okay. Is, and this is one of the reasons why I think education is fucked. Is I had to take what's called the CST.
Yep.
I took the CST. This is like so inside baseball education shit.
CST, for people that are listening, it's just a. It's like the. The SAT for qualifying to be a teacher on your content.
It reminds you of how stupid you are. Just in case. Yeah. That's the other takeaway this test can do for you. But no, the reason I'm bringing it up is that I had to take the CST, and you know, I passed the English. I passed like the arts and sciences.
Yeah.
But the math, I just fell apart because I'm from a generation of math phobic people that was taught a route memorization of math. Like, for example, I can tell you that a circle is 360 degrees, but I can't prove it. I just know it. That they just told me that's what it was. That's what it is. Like, I can tell you 7 times 6 is 42, but I can't prove that to you, right? So basically, what the math portion of this test involved is that you had to do 5th and 6th grade math, and I'm fucking 35 years old. I haven't done math in 20 years. Are you fucking kidding? Like, yeah. I get outsmarted by my phone. Like, so what do you think? How do you think I'm going to match up with this? And sure enough, I didn't. I failed that test. And there's a lot of moving parts with this. But basically, in order for me to student teach at the school I'm at, I had to pass all of these exams. Mm-hmm. But I had to do it by November 18th. So the fact that I failed this test, and it's now November 7th,
yeah.
There's no way that I can retake this test, pass it by the time, and get the results by the 18th.
Oh, got it. So in order for you to, so you still have to do student teaching, right?
I don't have to do student teaching. Oh, okay. Because because since I'm graduating non-certified, the requirement of graduating certified is to student teach and to do your ed TPA. So I don't have to do the ed TPA, and I don't have to student teach if I graduate non-certified.
Okay. But then does that potentially affect your ability to get jobs in certain types of schools? Or what is that?
Oh, yeah. I won't be able to teach in public school, which I have no intention of doing anyway. I just don't, man.
Yeah. It's crazy, man. I've worked in so many different types of schools in New York and in New Jersey. That's kind of why I wanted to talk to you about it.
Right.
It's just because it's so emotionally draining, and I had to tap out. Like, I tapped out and went to the private sector about 4 years ago because it was just emotionally draining. And then when you try to do good, there's always administrators or other teachers where you're like, why the fuck are you guys even here? Like, do you wonder why these kids hate us? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it's like, I feel like it's all like in part that there is that burnout, and then there is the idea of I'm unionized and you'll never fire me. It will cost you so much more to fire me than it would be to just keep me. So like, if I really just don't want to have to do my job, I don't have to. Like, I'm under union protection.
Yeah, it's so crazy how hard it is to fire somebody in the DOE.
Oh my God.
Once they're unionized and they have tenure, like my supervising teacher for student teaching at the school I was a TA for, pretty much similar to what you're doing.
Right.
She got like arrested for like drug possession or something. The teacher, like, she was gone. Like, I was assigned to her. She disappeared. Didn't find out what had happened until she came back months later. So I'm working with a substitute teacher who's the main teacher.
What?
And she's signing off on my hours. And I'm like, that's crazy. What? But it sucked though, because if she was there so long, you know, for college, like when you do student teaching, depending on the college, the teacher can get credit. They can get like college credits or whatever.
Right.
The substitute teacher didn't get shit because she technically wasn't the supervising teacher. So this teacher that got kicked away for the drug shit, principal couldn't get rid of her. Legally couldn't get rid of her, so she had to bring her back. Brought her back, and then she got free college credits and pretty much was like, oh, this is cool. Like, everything's set up. Because I had set up the whole curriculum for the rest of the year.
Holy shit, man.
It's the deal. I was like, what the fuck? They're like, yeah, it's the union. Like, they protect you and...
Have you seen Waiting for Superman?
Yeah.
I mean that, like, some people say it might be biased one way or the other, but like, we watched it in our grad school course, one of our courses. And like, there was a teacher who sat in the back and read a paper. Like, are you fucking...
I've seen teachers do that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I actually, it's funny. Substitute teachers are like the most intriguing section of people I've worked with.
Yeah.
Just like, there's often a story behind the substituting. Like, why are you subbing? Like,
you know, it's good money though.
If you can line it up, like,
well, for private schools, I'm not sure what the pay rate is, but when I did a temp agency, I did some private schools and it was okay. But the DOE subbing, you make more than the teachers a day.
Shit, dude.
You make like, a buck. When I was doing it, you were making $1.47 a day.
A day?
Yeah.
I think, I mean, obviously it depends school to school, but like, I think it's like $125
okay.
A day. But like, I remember this dude came in as a sub. And, like, he just, like, sat. He came in, put his shit down, and then I started the day because, you know, I was running the class.
That's right, yeah, because the TAs, you take over.
I took over the day, right. And your boy just went in the back with the paper. I was just like, all right, tight. You got it from here. And I was like, wait a minute.
Dude, it would have been so funny if I did, like, if I subbed at a class and you were the TA. Be like, man, we're just two brothers trying to make these kids' lives.
Yo, there's my head teacher has been out and they brought in a sub and it's been a black dude, like darker than me.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm just like, what are these parents thinking right now? Like, what do they think is happening? Like, it's so funny because like one of the first times during the school year when like the head teacher's out and I have to fill in, it's so interesting to see some of the panic that parents will have because they just don't like they don't know anything about education, but like some of them don't. But like, I'll never forget one time this parent came up to me and was like, oh, so Miss such and such isn't here today. And I was like, no, she's not. And the parent looked at me and goes, so what are you going to do? I was like, I don't know.
I got some graham crackers.
Leave? Like, yeah, what are you? I guess I'm just gonna go home too. Like, what do you fucking think? I'm gonna teach the class. Like, what? Like,
but she was genuine, right?
She was like, very genuine.
Like, what are you going to do?
So, what's your next move? Like, how are you gonna deal with this? It's like, what do you think? Like, just pull the fire alarm? Like, what? I'm gonna just teach the class, lady. So, and you know, and it's funny because there's definitely been classes where I've had to, when the head teacher's out, because they go nuts. When there's ever any sort of shift in the normalcy of a day, kids lose it, right? So I often, and this is when I've dealt with some badass classes, I've had to reinforce, and it's one of my favorite sayings, but I say, just because she's not here doesn't mean that I'm not here, just so we all know that. And the kids are like, oh, yeah.
What's your number one strategy to get kids like immediately to be like, oh, shit, Mr. Search is on point?
I do. Now, this would never work in a public school ever. Okay. And I recognize this. I often like to just go, and it's total white woman shit, but I just go, you know what? I'll wait. I'll wait for you. I'll wait because clearly what you have to say is more important than what I had to say right now. So if we'll all wait for you to finish what you have to say. So if now's the best time to have a conversation, go ahead and do that. And the kid, it just gets real quiet and the kid's like, you can continue. I'm like, oh, okay, thanks. I'll just keep going.
And then I jump right back. Yeah. You go like crazy, creepy white woman.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, man.
And you're a black guy. So you're like, what the fuck is happening?
Yeah. Like, well, this is what happens when you're raised off white entitlement. Yeah. Like you'll just really run with that and be like, wait a minute. That's not how that's supposed to work. But yeah. And also, I mean, look, you know, when you work in the lower school, like when you work first through sixth grade, you're surrounded by a lot of white women. That's just what it is. White women have cornered the market on lower school education.
They have cornered the market on schools and mental therapy.
Yeah.
It's a weird juxtaposition. But, you were talking about, because you were just talking about taking over subbing.
Yeah.
I had a point for that. Fuck. I'm sorry. I'm blanking.
That's all right. That's cool, dude.
It happens.
I mean, it's just like substitutes, you know, some are good, some are just like, there's this one man, Jesus Christ, she was just so out to lunch. And like
out to lunch? Did you just say that?
I did say out to lunch.
Yo, I've heard that since my Nana passed, dude. That's crazy.
Wow. Well, again,
she used to say that all the time about my teachers.
That woman's out to lunch. I've also liked to add out to dinner, out to breakfast. Just all the meals are gone. She's just not eating anything. Yeah. But no, man, this lady, man, she was so fucking out to lunch, and I like went on my lunch, ironically. And she like kind of looked at me and she's like, so the kids know that like to listen to me, right? Like you told them to just make sure that they listen.
Dear God.
And I was like, holy shit, you are afraid of everyone in this room right now, aren't you? And I was like, yeah, they know. Like they know you're an adult.
Yeah.
And they know that you should also tell them that. Like what do you mean? Like, do they know that they're supposed to listen to you? Of course, like
that's nuts. Like, and this is through like this is a substitute that was hired through like a temp agency or something like that.
Yeah.
See, my strategy has always been like, this has been like a weird, freaky thing I've just been able to do since I started teaching.
Right.
Years ago was I could learn students' names very fast.
Oh, really?
Like, I was able to either look at the name places where like kids have assigned seats,
mm-hmm.
or like, you know, just ask kids during attendance, what's your name? And I could just kind of like remember. So then when a kid's acting crazy, I'll be like, Johnny, stop. They're like, how do you know my name? Like, I know everything. Let's just get on task. And they're like, what the fuck?
I did that. I had one of those I know everything moments with Recess back when I was dude with the whistle.
Please tell me some Recess stories.
Oh, sure, man. I don't know how long this podcast is, but we can go all fucking day.
Man, you at my house. We can do whatever, man. I got nothing but beer.
All right, tight, man.
I'll put the AC on real quick, though. The heat. I got the project heat on right now.
So. All right. So keep telling the story. Okay. I was doing Recess. I was Recess dude. And it was the day of parent teacher. It was back to school night. I'm sorry. Yeah. It was back to school night. So yeah. I dialed it up a little bit. I had on a pair of khakis and a button up shirt. Normally that's not Recess attire. It's usually a pair of jeans and boots. That's what you wear outside. But I had on the khakis. Excuse me. I had on the khakis and the dress shirt. Kid comes up to me. She goes, why are you dressed like that? And I was like, well, you know, it's back to school night. So, you know, you kind of got to look a little nicer the thing. And she goes, well, what do you do back to school night? And I was like, oh, well, you know, I tell your parents what it is that I do. And she goes, well, what do you do? And I go, well, I watch you guys and I know everything.
Yeah.
And she goes, there's a girl in the corner of the recess yard who's just looking up in the sky. Right. She was just staring up at the sky for just fun. So the girl I'm talking to goes, so you know everything? I'm like, yeah, I pretty much do. She goes, what is she thinking about in the corner right now? We'll say her name's like Liz. Yeah. It's like, oh, you mean Liz? She's like, yeah. I go, Liz is thinking about ponies right now. And I watch this girl run over to Liz, and it'll lose in translation, but I watch them have the conversation, and I see Liz, and Liz just goes, yeah. And the girl runs back over to me. It's like, how did you know that? I go, I know what all of you are thinking all the time. This is what I do. I sit here and watch you motherfuckers all day long. Of course Liz thinks about ponies. She talks about ponies all the time. That's her shit.
That's just so much fun, the way you fuck with kids like that. Or like when, and I think that's like a thing as comics, we can like always laugh at things. Like, mm-hmm. like it's a good way to like, it is very stressful and a very serious environment, but there's also those stories where you could tell that and like potentially make it a joke or material. Like when I was teaching these third graders, I had them do a poetry assignment.
Okay.
And I was like, you guys can do whatever, right? Write a poem about whatever. It could be about a movie. It could be about whatever the hell you want. This kid, I guess, had just saw The Lion King. Okay. And so he wrote a poem about why Scar and Mufasa had beef. And it's because Mufasa got invited to a party that Scar didn't. And then when Mufasa came home, Scar beat the shit out of him. And that's why Mufasa gave him a scar on his face to defend himself.
Yo.
He literally had the line, Mufasa went out, he came back home, and I beat him like a slave. And you're the adult in the room, and you're trying to be serious. I started laughing in front of all the kids because I was just like, that's fucking crazy.
That's hilarious.
Well, you have to, like, you're not supposed to laugh. That's why I would be a terrible childhood teacher.
It's yeah.
I was always an adolescent because it was just I was not a good example for children.
Yeah, there's definitely moments where like I've really had to hold in the laughter of the question or just the situation at hand, and it's hard sometimes, man, because you're just like, yo, man, you cannot break. Like, just I know this kid shit her pants, but just don't fucking lose it.
Oh God.
Yeah, man. I remember the one time this kid pissed his pants. Like, he pissed his pants so hard, he pissed someone else's pants. There was so much piss. Like, from the top of the jeans all the way to the bottom. And I was like, what the fuck is this? How did you shouldn't have that much pee in you as a person.
Yeah.
But he like, and that's the other, it's like some kids won't use the bathroom all day.
Yeah.
They just don't go. And I'm like, that's the most, I couldn't imagine, again, as an adult, just like, you know what? I know I could pee, but I'm just going to hang on to this all day. And then at like 3, just pee somewhere. Like, get the fuck,
some kids have that anxiety and stuff like that. There's always like a weird kind of thing that you gotta be sympathetic to. Depending on if the kid will disclose to you. What's going on?
I understand that the anxiety level of that, right? But I'm talking from like the physical discomfort. Oh yeah,
just being able to like hold it in and just let it go.
Holy shit, man! Like I feel like the physical discomfort would totally outweigh my anxiety. Like if I were that kid, I'd just be like, okay, I know I'm terrified of this bathroom, but god damn it, this hurts, and I know I have to pee to fix that. So.
So why education in the first place?
Why education in the first place? Because I want summer vacation. No, I'm just kidding. It's Christmas. I got into education. When I moved to New York, I got a job in sales, and I got fired from that. And then I went on unemployment for a while. And then, yeah, it was fun. It was great.
I got a job in sales. I got fired.
Yeah, I wasn't good at it.
How long were you in sales for?
Like a year, I think, maybe. Okay. And then they were just like, yo, you are not good at this.
What were you selling, if you don't
remember? Oh, yeah, I don't care. Cocaine. No.
That's a future episode coming out, guys. Talking to I'm legit talking to somebody who used to sell crack.
Oh, great.
Yeah. It's going to be glorious.
Yeah, very different stories, yep. I imagine. different kind of babies. So I was in education. Oh, so I got fired from the sales gig.
Yep.
Oh, I was selling. I was a headhunter. So like I was with a recruiting firm.
Oh, okay, got it.
So it was kind of like I was selling jobs, I guess. Yep. Whatever. I sucked at it. I wasn't good at it. So they fired me. I went on unemployment for however long. I think it was like 8 months at the time.
Okay.
I ran through it. I was a foot messenger, like those dudes you see like in the message center. Yeah, I did that for 8 months, and it was fucking nuts because I was just in the streets. But anyway, so that ran out, and I was like, well, shit, I got to get a job. And my sister was like, well, my sister teaches, and she was like, I still have an in at a school I used to work at, and they're looking for a recess supervisor. It's kind of like a little bit above part-time, you know, it'll get your feet wet into education, see if you like it, see if you don't, but give it a shot. So I went, I got the job, and there was, you know, there, I think there was a real intrinsic value of working with kids, because it's like, it felt like to me that I was actually doing something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
absolutely.
I think I was making a difference. I know how hokey and cliched that sounds. But, and then, yeah, from there, like, now granted, I turned the recess position into a career, which you're not supposed to. Like, the job is supposed to be for, like, 2 years. But I did it for 6.
Oh, Mr. Search, you keep coming back.
Oh, yo, man. It was just, I started doing stand-up at the time. Like, okay, that was really what... That job gave me the flexibility to get into stand-up because, like, essentially, you do recess, you throw a bag of balls in the closet, and then you leave. Yep. That's it. There's no lesson plans. There's no – what lesson plans do you have for recess, man? Just don't murder each other. That's the plan. Like, make sure you have all your fingers. So, anyway,
And that's back when they could play dodgeball illegally, right?
Oh, man. Yeah. Well, they still can. It's funny because the school I was at, I used to do after school, and I did dodgeball on Fridays, and I'd actually play. I suited up and played.
Yo, you would fuck those kids up, right?
Oh, yeah. Look.
I would fuck up the kids that gave me a hard time.
Listen, my rule is this. Your parents paid for this, so I'm giving them all of it. I'm not going to let you. Your parents paid good money for you to play dodgeball, and it would be disingenuous of me to not play as hard as I can. And I did. I totally played as hard as I could. The head of that school at the time, her and I got along great, but the one thing that we fought over was dodgeball. She hated dodgeball, and for obvious reasons. Like,
absolutely. Yeah. It's
exclusionary.
It's demoralizing.
It totally is, man. But God damn it, I stuck by it. I still defend dodgeball to this day. I think it's a dope sport. But the reason why they kept it is because it was the big ticket. Like, so many kids signed up for it.
Okay.
Like, it was one of the big ticket items that the after school program had was dodgeball. So, like, if you're making a school money, they're not going to take away that cash cow. Like, if it's a private school and they're making money off of this, you know, additional thing. It's okay.
Absolutely.
Like, we'll make concessions for dodgeball.
Okay. So, you did the recess thing, and then you evolved to a teacher assistant?
Yeah, then I became a teacher assistant. Reason being is that they fired me from the recess position. It was kind of like, well, looks like I should start teaching now, because I have to. It was one of those things where, like, they finally recognize, it's just like, look, Jim is not going to go back to school to become a teacher, so you have to go. So that's when I then enrolled in graduate school, and then I started assistant teaching.
What was your undergrad?
My undergrad was in hospitality tourism management. I used to be an assistant manager at a hotel.
Yeah, well, you just decided, like, that's not the game.
Oh, it sucked. I wasn't wired for that. You work, I don't know, 70 hours a week, maybe? The hours are insane, and it wasn't worth it to me. It was another one of those jobs where, well, it's like I wasn't doing anything. Like, I wasn't making a difference. Like, I was checking people in and out of a fucking hotel and getting yelled at when shit would break around the hotel. Because, like, when you're an assistant manager, or when you work the front office, if something breaks in the... Like, if your toilet plugs, you don't yell at the plumber, you yell at the desk. Like, if your food is cold, like, if you order room service and it's fucked, you call down to the desk and yell at them. You don't call room service and yell at them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, you are the hub of communication. And it's just, I was just taking a lot of shit from people, and I was just like, fuck this. So, I remember one time, this is out in Cleveland, and, at the cross dressers at the time, rented a room and trashed it. Like, they wrecked the room. They ripped the sink out of the wall.
What the fuck?
And they just destroyed the room.
Well, they were high on that stuff, weren't they?
Yeah, they were. There's drugs. There's drugs all over the place. But they fucking wrecked the room. But nobody got a credit card for them to pay for the incident, because they bought the room online.
Got it.
But one of the people who checked him in didn't take a credit card for, like, incidentals. And, the hotel had to come out of pocket to fix this fucking room that gang of transvestites just destroyed. So, there you go.
Life.
Yeah. Yes. And now I teach math. So, there you go.
Full circle.
Life's a journey.
How much of your material right now talks about teaching?
I would say there's probably a good, like, 30%, 35%. Okay. That's inspired by kids I work with, or just teaching in general.
Have your kids ever discovered that you're a comedian, or that you do videos and stuff like that?
The kids, some have. I mean, like, when I did Recess, some of the kids found out, like, the older kids did. And I actually did stand up for a first grade class, because, like, the old school I worked at, it was terrible.
Yeah, I did it for a career day. I bombed.
Oh, it's
nothing worse than bombing in front of a bunch of kids.
I had one kid look me dead in the eye and just go, "You're not funny." I have been heckled every possible way you can imagine, but to have a child look you dead in the eye and just go, "No, you're not funny."
You know John Minus?
Yeah.
All right. So I had when I was working at John Jay, I was doing in-reach school counseling.
Okay.
And I organized a comedy show for my students at this place, this lounge up in the Upper East Side.
Okay.
I had Jordan Carlos, Emma Willman, Mike Brown, John Minus, and someone else. And John went up in front of these teenagers and just bombed for like 10 minutes. But he got so uncomfortable and he got so nervous. He started sweating profusely. I was just like, "You kids, you guys like video games?" He didn't have any material for it. He was just like trying to get them to do something.
Just did crowd, like, but that's like, that was the thing, man. When I did stand up for first graders, I just did crowd work. That's like, you can't write jokes. Yeah. Like, their attention span, like, it's shaky at best. So,
well, there are some, have you ever done, I'm blanking on his name, Paul. He does a show at Creek in a Cave. It's on Saturday, early afternoon. It's like a 2. He does a kid show with his daughter.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah, and you actually perform in front of kids. It's like, it was probably the most fun show I've done in a while.
Wow.
Because you do like clean material, obviously, but you get to watch kids do jokes.
I was fucking
jokes.
This bitch last night. And, you guys a couple down there? How old are you? Who cares? Anyway.
But yeah, you should definitely look into that because it's fun. Like, kids, they're a little bit more engaged because they're with the parents, so they kind of like. You know, whenever you're around adults, you try to act more mature than you are. So at least they laugh, even though they may not get the joke.
It, you know, I gotta say, it's such a good exercise, I think, as a comic to play to those different audiences. Yeah. Like, because I mean, look, you're gonna have to fly in all weather, man, and you really have to exercise a different muscle in your brain comedically to make. Yeah, I mean, the object of the game is to make them laugh. Yeah. Like, you have to make this crowd laugh. I when I did that first grade show, I was being heckled, and I fired back at said heckler.
What did the kid say? What was he heckling with?
What did he just started yelling. He just started yelling, and I don't remember exactly.
Kill yourself.
Yeah, just like, "You ain't shit. Your dreams are shit." No, but he just started yelling, and finally I just go, "Why are you yelling at me? I'm less than 3 feet away from you. Do you think I can't hear you? I'm looking at you right now. Why are you yelling at me?" And everyone started laughing because, again, it was insane as to why he was at full volume, and then he was 3 feet away from me screaming at the top of his lungs. I'm like, "This doesn't make any sense at all.
Yeah.
Can you explain why the hell you're yelling at me?" And it shut him down momentarily. It abated him until he was like, "Oh, this being quiet sucks. Let's start doing it again."
So you never got worried about students finding your material online, or do you kind of like monitor it?
I don't. Well, I mean, I work with like first, second, and third. Well, I mean, this year first grade.
But you say you want to eventually get into like third to fifth grade, right? And
I don't.
Those are the kids that are a little bit more smartphone savvy that can Google you.
Sure.
And stuff.
I mean, I've been. What was I going to say? I'm not necessarily worried about that. And I've like definitely explained to my administrators and powers that be. And they know, like, a lot of them know I do stand up and know I do comedy. And I say, "Look, you know what? This is another part of my life. This exists outside of education. You know, and I'm not, it's for an adult. Like, my stand-up comedy is for an adult. And I'm also not necessarily working so blue that they'd be like, oh, my God, why is he talking about raping and murdering people? Like, that's not my stand-up. Like, I'm not going as dark as that." So it's like, if you found the bit I wrote about when I found shit on the floor of a bar, have at it. Enjoy it. I've had parents Google you as a teacher. They absolutely Google you. And I've had parents find my stand-up. I've had parents come to shows.
Oh, so, okay, because they're trying to fuck.
Well, yeah. there's some chuckle fuckers, I guess. I don't know. I can't talk to that sort of part of my life. But No, I've had parents who've been fans and have come to shows and checked it out. So like, you know, I'm not too worried about that sort of thing. So
okay,
it ain't shit.
See, because the only reason why I ask, there's a show called Insecure on HBO right now, right?
Right.
And Issa Rae, her character did a open mic where she rapped about broken pussy. And her students,
she rapped about broken pussy?
She rapped about her friend's broken pussy because her friend can't get laid.
Oh, okay.
But then the kids find out that she raps, and so they Google her, and this video comes up.
Mm.
Right? So I'm like, I know I have some jokes and stuff where I talk about crazy shit, or I have some videos. I've done like a lot of stuff for College Humor and even J.O.'s crazy shit.
Yeah, where I'm
saying insane stuff.
Right.
And so people can easily Google me and see a lot of stuff, and I'm just always wondering, like, that was one of the fears I had, and like you, I had to self-disclose, like, hey, this is what I do, like, outside of school. Nothing's detrimental to the students. It doesn't impact my classroom teaching, but...
Well, that's the other... I mean, on top of that, too, like, whenever I do talk about teaching or if I do talk about a kid, I don't ever say a name. I've never said a kid's name. I've never said a school's name that I've worked at. So, like, I'm very cognizant of, like, the reputation of where I'm working, you know? So, I think if for me personally, like, if I cover those grounds of like not saying a name and not disclosing where I am, then there really shouldn't be an issue. Yeah. Like, you know, if you have a parent who looks me up and finds that, you know, I'm telling jokes about teaching and they don't agree with it, it's like, well, and I'm not going to get on like my high horse and be like, I'm willing to die for my art and da da da.
No, we got to make money. We got to live.
I got to live.
We got to pay rent.
But what I will say, though, is to a degree, it's like, you know what? I'm doing this outside of work. I'm not talking about anything that's involved with work. And you know what? You know, and I won't get into like the freedom of speech there, but there is an element to that of just like, you know what? It's my right to go out there and talk. And I should be allowed to do that. And I shouldn't feel that you are trying to unhinge me and undermine me for doing that. Yeah, so
random question for you.
What's up?
Because you say you work at a private school, and I've substitute at some private schools, rich private schools.
Okay,
what's the cafeteria like? What's the food like? Because some of these kids,
good question,
be eating like kings, and I want to punch them in the face.
And others do not. Well, here's the thing: is I've worked at a few different schools, so I've seen different cafeterias. The food's pretty good. Like, the one school I'm thinking of, like, the chef there just was amazing.
Chef, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, not lunch lady, chef.
No, there are lunch ladies, though. We do have a lunch lady contingent. Usually black or brown. Usually calls me sweetie when I walk by. That's fine.
Hey, gives you extra chocolate milk.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I know where my bread is buttered in every sense of the word. Yeah, that was awful. That was so
Jesus Christ,
dude. I'm a monster.
Fucking lunch ladies.
Yeah. Just trying to get in where I fit in. No, I think food's been pretty good. I have to say that I know of some schools where the teachers get filet mignon. That's which is nuts that's happening.
School I'm thinking about specifically, they gave out like, they were doing like burgers on the grill. Like French fries, like fresh out.
Like.
And, like salad bar and all that stuff.
See, I'm more of a, I think the school I'm at now, you have to pay for lunch, which I'm just kind of like, I don't understand why.
Wait, you have to pay for lunch?
I have to pay for lunch. I mean, it's discounted. Like, it's like $2 a day or something. Like, but it's still just the fact that you have to pay for lunch. And it's like, you do realize that a class of 18 kids that are paying $40,000 a year is a lot of fucking money. Why am I paying for lunch? Can you throw me $2 today? But that's, you know, if that's what I, if that's the worst thing I have to deal with.
Did they pay for like soda and stuff in the vending machines and all that?
Well, I don't, I mean, I'm not a soda drinker, but... Yeah, I mean, well, there's no, like, vending machines in the school, so, like...
What?
No.
That's crazy.
No, man, I mean...
You don't have a teacher's lounge or nothing?
Yeah, there's a teacher's lounge.
Okay.
But they give you... No, they... I mean, to be fair, they give you free coffee. Free tea, water, juice, all that shit's free. Like,
What about like staff happy hours or anything? They hook you all up.
They'll do that once in a while. They'll, you know, the first two rounds are on the school.
Oh,
yeah.
Shit.
So we'll do that. And a lot of these schools have auctions and benefits each year.
Okay.
Where, like, you know, they raise money for the school, and it's like that's like the gala affair.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I've gone to a couple of these things, and yeah, I mean, it's open bar. It's, you know, everyone's dressed to the nines, and, you know, it's usually, you know, they auction off things to raise money for the school. So,
which is crazy, since you pay to go to the school, and then they do fundraisers for the school.
Well, yeah. Well, that's the thing, though. It's
we
like,
just need more money.
I mean, you know, it's a business, man. You know, I hate to say it, but these places are
I went businesses. To the private Catholic school where they did a walk-a-thon for the school.
Oh, wow.
They charge kids for the T-shirts for the walk-a-thon. Then you had to pay to do the walk-a-thon and get donations for the walk-a-thon. But it all goes back to the school that you're paying tuition for.
Yeah, that's...
I was like, what the fuck? They took them out of school, out of class for that.
God damn. Like, that's the thing, though, too, is like... If you're dealing with private schools, by and large, most of these parents got money.
Oh, yeah.
Like they ain't poor. And, you know, it's where the New York elite send their kids. So it's like, you know, you've got those situations where they can afford this. Like they're not hitting up parents that are struggling to get their kids through, you know. Yeah. So it's okay.
What's the craziest shit you've seen as a teacher?
Craziest thing, man, that's hard because there's so many different, like, I guess, situations that I can think of. I think one of the craziest, because it's hard to say like the craziest.
Yeah,
so I'll give you like one of the craziest. One of the craziest situations is I used to work at the school, and they were doing, it was kindergarten, so they had, like, rest time where, like, you know, just chill out. And one kid went down for rest and...
Never woke up.
Well, turned on the lights, didn't move. And we were like, okay.
Oh, God.
And start shaking the kid. He's not responding. And we're, you know, I was working with this teacher at the time, and we were both like, okay, you know, Jim, take the kids to music, because they were about to go to music next.
Yep.
And we're just going to tell them that he's just a little tired.
Yep.
And so, like, they call the nurse. The nurse comes in, and she's like, you know, we need to get an ambulance. Like, ambulance came and took him off. I mean, he lived, but, like...
Oh, shit.
Look, man.
What happened to him?
God, there was some sort of medical malady that happened. I wish I remember the specifics of it. But I sure as fuck made sure he did not fall asleep on my watch. Fuck that. We'll stay up all day long.
So Mr. Search is nap time. No, you stay the fuck up.
Nah, man. It's nap for everybody else, Mr. Narcoleptic. We're not playing that shit. I need you to live. And
holy
you cannot
shit.
Die. But yeah, like, because I mean, it was so out of the blue, yeah. So random, and it... It just happened, man. And then one time in the cafeteria, we found shit on the floor. Like,
I mean, that's every
shit.
School. That's every school, though.
Like, kid, yeah, that happens.
That happens all the time.
I mean, but I guess what was crazy to me is, like, how did the kid do it? Like, because, like, there was shit just on the floor. Like, did you, like, shake it out of your leg, like Shawshank Redemption style? Where you're,
oh,
like,
so it happened, like, while everyone was in the room?
Yes, everyone was in the room.
Because sometimes, you know, the cafeteria staff, they're, like, cooking in the back. There's opportunities for kids to go and take a quick deuce real quick and then run out.
Nah, yo. There was just a log on the floor of this fucking cafeteria, and it's, like, what sort of Houdini act did you pull? Because you, like, you had underwear on, I'm assuming...
Yeah.
So, like, what... I don't want to get into the finer nuances of shitting on the floor undetected, but...
Every school has, like, a doo-doo mystery.
There's a doo-doo...
Where you find shit in a random place. Like, no one knows what happened. No one knows who did it. But that kid knows. And
oh, yeah.
And that kid's going to know forever.
Well, that's... I mean, it turned into a bit, but the punch of it is that the kid who shits on the floor today is the adult... Or the kid who shits on the floor today is the Wall Street guy who defrauds you tomorrow. Because if you have it in your head to just shit on the floor and leave it, you're not above just tearing apart someone's 401k for your own personal gain. So, or of Trump supporter.
But how do you cover up the smell? I guess Axe body spray. That's what all the kids use.
Well, I mean, this was like, you know, first through what was this like? I think it was like first and second grade lunch. Yeah. So like there, like, I mean, there were so many questions, and then the janitors came in and roped it off like Law and Order SVU style. They like put the caution tape around the shit scene. So we're just like, oh my god, how is this happening right now? I mean, yeah, that I guess what was crazy again, the crazy part to me was how did this occur? Not the act of shitting, but the stealth of it, the stealth shitter, I guess, for lack of better words.
Yeah, kids are weird, man.
Oh man, they're just.
I had a kid like come out to me one time,
like out of the closet.
This little, like, yeah, this little boy, he was first grader. We were showing it was that summer camp thing.
Okay,
we were showing High School Musical 3.
Okay,
there's a scene when Zac Efron and the black kid, they're dancing in a car parking lot for some reason. And this kid came up to me. He was like, "Mr. Collins," I was like, "Hey, what's going on, kid?" He was like, "This movie's so sexy. The people in this movie are so sexy." And it's just two dudes dancing on the screen. I'm like, well, there you go. Everybody likes what they like.
You know, that's.
But then he ran away, and I was just like, this is my job. Never ceases to be weird.
It is interesting, though. Yeah, I mean, the shit that kids say and come up.
Kids say the darndest things.
But, like, it is interesting to see how, like, sexual orientation is happening. Like, where.
Yeah.
Like. I remember this school I worked at, and like these two kids were clearly gay. Like they were going, like they were just, or if not gay, or bisexual, whatever. They were just really into holding each other and touching each other, and I'm just like,
oh, and you were the teacher.
Yeah, yeah. And they're just sitting there, just gaying it up, and I'm like, I support you, man. I'm on board.
You didn't tell them to stop touching each other in class?
I mean, it wasn't like they weren't like jerking each other off or anything like that. I didn't say that. I'm just saying like they were cuddling. There's a lot of cuddling that was going on.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, oh, like, you know, you're just like, oh, okay. They found the kindred spirit here. The kindred glittered
spirit. They have a long road ahead of them.
They do. It's not gonna, you know, it's not gonna be all glitter and share, you know. Yeah. So
what was the most rewarding experience for a teacher for you?
Oh, man, the most rewarding. And, you know, I don't know if I can necessarily put it in, like, a quintessential moment.
Yeah.
I think it's the intrinsic value you'll have in the hall when you'll see a kid that you don't even know who will be like, "Hi, Mr. Search," and will wave at you with that sort of earnest, that of just like, "Hello, how are you?" And you have no idea, like, they just... they know who you are and they look up to you to that level and they respect you so much that I think that's really what's rewarding for me. You know,
you're the Obama of the school, man.
You know, Brandon, it's hard. You just gotta keep them in line.
Is that your Obama impression?
Yeah, I tried. You didn't like my Obama impression?
That was like, let's do it again.
Just do, well, like, it's hard now. See, now I'm on the spot. You want me to go to Sandusky and talk to the kids there? There's a steel worker who's saying, "How am I going to put them through school?"
Okay, it got a little bit better.
It got better?
Yeah, a little bit. But it just sounds like you're yelling at me.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry I didn't. I know it's not a JL Trump impression. I'm trying.
Oh, jeez.
I'm trying.
All right, man. This is great, man.
This has been so much fun.
Teaching, because there's very few comics and stuff that like have education backgrounds to talk about it.
Yeah.
And stuff. Or especially like brothers that, you know, I can talk to.
Yeah, for sure. And just, you know, how, I mean, and I think and I've said this before so much, the difference between public and private, but public school, just the, what it must be like to be a person of color to teach in that space. As it is for a person of color to teach in a private school space, how vastly different that's going to be, you know? You know, I got to say, like, I worked in schools that have been great. I worked in some schools that have been okay.
Yeah.
You know, they're definitely, I think, if you, you know, because I've definitely had, and it's usually, there's this, I'm thinking of this, I have this, like, white liberal friend, like, girl friend, who, like, she teaches in public schools, and she's, like, doing the Lord's work. And, like, I'll admit it, I'm probably not doing most of the Lord's work where I am right now. But she, like, tried, and I could tell that she was trying to give me shit about teaching in a private school when, like, you know, as a dude of color, how there's public schools that need you.
Yeah.
And I astutely said to her, like, you know, there are kids of color that do go to private schools who face a lot of the challenges that, you know, are not even talked about or even spoken to. Like, you know, it's a kind of an unwritten rule in the private school world that, like, when it comes time for, like, winter break or spring break or whatever, that you don't talk about where you're going. Like, I wouldn't lay up to you a question of, like, so where are you going for winter break? Because it's like, who says I'm going any Brooklyn?
Yep.
Like, what do you
Hamptons.
Mean? Yeah.
Florida. Yeah. Miami.
Yeah.
That's just the same thing.
It's
and then one kid's like, home.
Yeah, home. Hell. I'll never forget.
Coney Island.
Yeah. Astoria. But I had, when I was doing the recess thing, a parent came up to me, and we had that conversation. He goes, so, Jim, where are you going for winter break? And I go, Brooklyn. And he kind of looked at me just befuddled, like, why wouldn't you go to Vermont? What? Like,
yeah.
As though Vermont was an answer the whole time that I didn't figure out.
Yeah.
And so I was like, yeah, I could just go to Vermont and what, be there? That's, I'll still be poor in Vermont. Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Man, like, you can't let people get to you about, like, you know, giving you shit about working a private school. It's all about finding the right fit for you.
Oh, for sure, and
sticking with education. That's the main thing. Like, I was one of those guys who was like, yeah, I'm going to public schools. I'm going to make a difference because I'm a brother. And I want to help these kids. And this shit was like, it was like getting emotionally kicked in the balls every day.
Oh, I bet, man.
Because even when you make one step forward with a student, you get two new students that come into your office that are just as crazy or going through some other shit. And then, like, you just, it's crazy. Because you genuinely want to help. Like, I was a counselor, and I genuinely want to help kids. And actually, I've created a bit about this, which is kind of fucked up. But I had a kid that came to me, and he was like, the reason why I'm always late for class is because I'm afraid of getting jumped again by the local gang. They beat me up, and, like, I come to school because I figure that they're not going to be around, so I come when I can. And he, like, emotionally broke down to me.
Jesus. And so how old is this kid?
He was 14 years old. So, man. I'm going to the teacher saying, hey, let so-and-so, give them a slide, let them know what kind of work they can make up because to make up for the latenesses.
Right.
And they're like, Brandon, you know he runs that gang he was telling you about.
What?
It's like the biggest Kaiser Soze shit that ever happened to me.
Jesus.
And that was like one of the beginning of me like being broken.
Oh my God. That's.
I was like, oh shit. Because it's. How do you vet that?
Well, that's the thing, man. And I feel like with that, it's like, yeah, how do you vet it? Like, how do you figure out who's full of shit and who's not? Yeah. And do you want to run the potential risk of being like, oh, you're full of shit, shut up, and then that kid's like, great, here's another person who thinks I'm a piece of shit. Because I was, as soon as you told me that story, man, I mean I'll still talk about it, but I went to this workshop this past weekend about trauma in education and how that affects student learning.
Oh yeah.
And how that's so far neglected, especially in like a public school space, because like you've got kids that are dealing with some shit that they don't even talk about,
yep.
Right? So if you have a kid who may have watched his dad beat the shit out of his mom before he came to school, what chance do you think that kid's going to have of paying attention to what you have to say,
yep.
Right? And so as a teacher, and one of the takeaways from this workshop was like, as a teacher, you have to keep that in mind when you're working with your kids, that there are going to be kids who are going through some shit. And you may want to say to yourself, why can't you just listen? Or why can't you just focus? It's like, because I haven't ate for 3 days and yep. My brain is not here because I'm so far everywhere else. And so, you know, it's like, how do you navigate that? How do you balance the workload that, you know, administration powers that be that want versus this kid who doesn't know where they're going to sleep tonight, you know? 18, yeah. And further buzzkill, 18,000 homeless kids in New York City.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm telling you shit you already know.
I worked with kids that were, like, in kindergarten that were in homeless shelters getting, like, beat up by other parents in the homeless shelter because they were, like, in an open space and had to share. It is a nightmare.
Now, those kids weren't beating up the adults like that kid ran the gang, right?
No.
Okay,
no,
good.
This is innocent child.
Okay, good. Because my when that 14-year-old ran a con and destroyed all humanity for me.
He broke me.
Oh, my God.
He broke me emotionally.
I mean, I would just be like, you are wrong. That's that's a lie. That's not, you run the game. But here's the thing, though. As clever as that was, how long did he think that you were going to find out?
I mean, the kid stopped coming to school, so I never was able to really confront him.
Oh, man.
I saw him. I literally saw him my last day walking to the train.
Really?
To come back to a story from Brighton Beach, yeah.
Oh, dude, I would have went out to him. I'm just like, you are lying.
Yeah.
Now, I would make sure no one, the gang's with him, but just like, you know what? You are not telling the truth. You ran that gang, and you did not beat up yourself, so don't. I'm not going to let you do this anymore. So, there you go.
The darkness.
Yeah, man.
But Jim, how can people follow you, man? How can they learn when you're performing next? Talk about your podcast that you got going on.
Sure. I will shamelessly plug me. You can find me at Jim Search on Twitter. You can go to jimsearchcomedy.com. I'm there. Instagram, same, Jim Search. I run two podcasts. One, Swatches and Boomboxes, with my boy Neil Charles.
Nice.
It's a 90s retro rap review. We talk about rap from the 90s. It's so much fun. If you're a rap head, you're going to love it. The other podcast I do is called Shut It Down, the Bar Rescue Recap Show. Where
oh, shit, dude.
Yeah,
are you a guest?
Yeah.
I would love to come on.
Really?
That shit. Yeah, I would love.
Do you see me just get all worked up? Really? You will?
I would love to do that shit.
Oh, dude, you're in.
I told you that at my Halloween part, but I guess you must have been too lit.
I was pretty lit, yeah. Dude. I mean,
you must have been pretty.
We played two games of beer pong, and then I of course started drinking hard liquor, and that's when it fell apart.
Yeah, you started yelling about white people. You started yelling a lot about politics while we were watching Urban Legend.
Oh, shit,
you got real.
Oh, God. That took a hard left. I'm sorry. That's if I
come back. We're going to do that again soon.
Oh, tight. Yeah. I'd love to. I do a podcast, Shut It Down, the Bar Rescue Recap Show, with Katrin Heyer and Max Cohen.
Okay.
And that's really fun. If you're up in, I'm going to be up in Yonkers on Friday night, but I have no idea where and what time. I'm just getting the details back. Okay. So
this is coming out next week.
Oh, it's out next week. Then shit, man. I don't know. I think I have like a dentist appointment or something. If you want to go, come hang out for that. That'll be pretty tight. I'm going to be next Wednesday. You said right?
Thursday.
Oh, I'm sorry. Next Wednesday. I'm going to be at Gordon Baker Bones' show.
Stress Factory.
No, in Hell's Kitchen.
Okay.
It's in Newark at a bar called Hell's Kitchen.
God, it's like, what?
Yeah.
Going into the city now.
No. He's still running Jersey. So, but yeah, I mean, if you're looking for me and you want to come see me do stand-up, go to jimsearchcomedy.com. All my dates are listed there, so go check me out.
Thanks
there.
So much for coming through, man.
Thank you for having me, man. This is great, man.
We don't believe you, cause we the people are still here in the rear, yo, we don't need you. You ain't a killing off good young nigga move. When we get hungry, we eat the same fucking food, the ramen noodle. Your simple voodoo is so maniacal, reliable to pull a juju. The irony is that this bad bitch in my lap, she don't love me, she make money, she don't study that. She gon' give it to me, ain't gon' tell me nothing back. She gon' take the brain to where the place she spit on that. Vidors and signs with it, don't try to rhyme with it. VH1 has a show that you can waste your time with. Guilty pleasure, take the edge off reality. And for a salary, I'll probably do that just sporadically. The OG Gucci boots are smitten with iguanas. The IRS piranhas see a nigga getting common. Niggas in
the hood, living in a fishbowl. Gentrify here, now it's not a shithole. Trendsetter, I know my shit's cold. Handsetter, baby, cause I ain't so bold. But hey, all you black folks, you must go. All you Mexicans, you must go. And all you poor folks, you must go. Muslims and gays, boy, we hate your ways. So all you bad folks, you must go.
The fog and the smog of the media, the logs, false narratives of guys that came up against the odds. We're not just nigger rappers with the bars. It's kismet that we're cosmic with the stars. You bastards overlooking street art, better yet street smart, but you keep us off the chart. Some of the fucking numbers and your statisticians. Fuck y'all know about true competition. Just like the AO picture on there talking about he hitting. The only one who's hitting are the ones that's currently spitting. We got your Missy smitten, rubbing on a little kitten, dreaming of a world that's equal for women with no division. Boy, I tell you, that's vision. Like Tony Romo when he hit and went in. The tribe be the best in a division. Shaheed Muhammad cut it with precision. Who can come back years later, still hit the shot? Still, I'm trying to move you off the fucking block. Babylon, blood clot. Tube on your head, top.
All you black folks, you must go. All you Mexicans, you must go. And all of you poor folks, you must go. Muslims and gays, boy, we hate your ways. So all you bad folks, you must go.